afternoon, everyone. My name is Simon Barrett, and this is another edition of the News in Review. As always, I'm joined by my most excellent panel from the wilds of Youngstown, Ohio, author, activist, and teacher Sam Moffey. Sam, welcome.
Thank you for that rousing introduction, Simon. Happy Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day to everybody. Looking forward to another surprise attack from Gary, at Gary, and all sorts of good things.
Oh, okay. Before we move on, right before you called in, I was indeed chatting with Gary, and I was about to explain your email address and the fact that it begins EUL. Would you care to fill the rest of the story in?
Do you want me to bore everybody to death?
Yes,
okay,
it's such a great story.
Well, my first day in kindergarten a long, long, long time ago, you know, you walk into school and you have your name tags pulled out, put on your desks. Well, up to that point of 5 years old, no one had ever called me by my full name, Samuel. So I walked in, the teacher said, you know, sit down here, pointed to my name tag, and Samuel Moffey. So I went home that day at dinner, and, you know, I was the youngest kid, and finally came my turn to talk, and I said, hey, how come no one ever told me my middle name was Yule before? And from that day on, my father and mother and brothers and sisters called me Yule, and that was my nickname, and it still is to some of them. So wake up, everybody. And that's how I got my email, UEL, or UEL 0409.
Okay. All right. So there you have it, Gary. It's a strange story, that's for certain.
Yes.
Okay. And from LA, we have psychologist, author, and teacher, Dr. Gary Penn. Gary, welcome.
Hello, and I hope everyone had a nice holiday, and I am happy to be here once again. My hands and my knuckles are taped up, and I'm ready to rock and roll.
Oh, dear. That sounds bad. I'm from the Garden State, New Jersey, my good friend Bill Conrad. Bill, how are you this week?
I'm doing fine. Looking forward to today's show, and hopefully there isn't going to be any cat fights, and ready to go. Bring it on.
Okay. Now, not all of you are here, but if you were here 2 weeks ago, you might recall the Attack of the Bounty Hunters. A child porn fan was on the run. His name was John Charles Price. And the Bounty Hunters had a theory Mr. Price had faked his own death. Bounty Hunters certainly didn't buy the idea that he was dead, and in fact the police didn't, but yeah, the police had better things to do, like handing out traffic tickets than track down Mr. Price. Well, good news. On Thursday, my good buddies, the Bounty Hunters, located the body of Mr. Price, and it was most definitely alive. He was living in an RV in the Ocala National Forest with a friend by the name of Lawrence. And I do have Lawrence's picture, and he's the spitting image of Bozo the Clown. I mean, he's got the perfect hair for it. Oh, and five thumb drives were recovered from the RV. So far, only one, which was not encrypted, has been broken into. And 300 more child porn pictures were found. The 50 felony counts have now reached 70. And I think it's fair to say that Mr. Price will not be missing any future court dates, as the cops know exactly where he is. And Lawrence, a.k.a. Bozo the Clown, is now a hunted man. So anyway, just thought you'd like that update.
And we knew they'd get him.
Oh, they were bound and determined to get him. And Cobra and his associates have basically been calling me day and night for 2 weeks on the subject. But anyway, that's one down, eight and a half gazillion to go. Let's move on. I for one, I'm getting sick of the white cop killing black man stories. It's like every week there's a new one on the TV. The latest one is Eric Garner. Hey, yeah, you have to look on the bright side. No guns were used. Now, Mr. Garner was 6'4" tall. Apparently weighed in at 360 pounds. Looked like a lot of Big Macs and sodas to me. But, yeah, the cops killed him without drawing a weapon. So I guess there's something to be said for that. You know, punishment should always, you know, match the crime. Sorry, but I don't see that selling Lucy's, which are essentially single cigarettes for, you know, 50 cents or a buck each, is a serious crime. I'd love to hear what the panel thinks. Sam, have you been following the case?
Sure. How can you not? Cases, I think it should be plural. Yeah, I have. I think that it's a tragedy that a person gets killed, white, black, green, purple, male, female, gay, you know, whatever, by the police department in any way, shape, or form. But there's two things that I take out of this. And I sent you an email on one of them, and I'm going to bring it up, is that if we continue to pass these stupid laws and you make cops enforce them, such as the tax on cigarettes is $5.85 a box, a carton, not a carton, a pack. That's a lot of dough. Well, a lot of people, and Mr. The gentleman who was killed has been arrested 15, 20 times before, 30 times totally, at selling illegal cigarettes. Drives down to Virginia, picks them up, brings them in a boatload of cigarettes, brings them up, or a van load, excuse me, brings them up, sells them on the streets of Staten Island, clears himself $5,000-$6,000 or whatever. A lot of people are doing it. And the cops have to enforce the law. The cops are being told, hey, you have to enforce this law, even though, you know, because we need the tax revenue. this law is stupid. The taxes are high. Why is this a priority in a city of, 10, 15 million people? It is because they need the tax revenue. And this guy was, and then on the second hand, nowadays, as a teacher, and I've talked about this before in the inner city, I see it. These kids have no respect for authority, white authority, black authority, police authority, teacher authority, you name it. They're going to defy it. So someone says, you put your hands down, stop doing what you're doing. They don't do it. They defy you. So then the cops have to make that choice. Okay, do I walk away and not do my job, or do I have to do my job? And he tried to do their job. Unfortunately, why this guy couldn't put your hands down, stop selling your cigarettes, turn back away, get handcuffed, and go. He'd done it 30 times before. What was the big deal? Obviously, being 6'3", 350 pounds, or whatever he was, it's going to take more than one guy to take him down. And I think these are things that have to be looked at. These laws that are out there that are forcing police officers, that thin blue line to get thinner, as they have to get more aggressive and combative with people trying to in the underground economy. I understand why Eric and these other guys are all trying to sell cigarettes to make a buck on the side. One, they're not making enough money from the government handout. They can't find jobs. They don't have an education or whatnot. The mean streets are meaner. So why not make $5,000-$6,000 a weekend and selling cigarettes illegally? I totally understand that. Totally understand that. But what I don't totally understand is not obeying when you get caught. And then, of course, the police officer, the police officer being put in that position. And now, listen, I'm no big fan of the police. I've been arrested a couple times myself on flimsy charges and whatnot. But I'm going to tell you something. When the cops came to get me, I didn't cause a ruckus. Okay, they told me they were going to arrest me. They arrested me, and I obeyed with what they had to do. I think they were wrong, everything they did, because if they are wrong and they arrest you, there'll be lawsuits, and the cops and cities have paid out millions and millions of dollars in lawsuits that are for legal and unlawful and over the top and enforcement of the laws. So there is a way to go, and there are plenty of lawyers who are going to take those cases. So that being said, I think that's something that has to be looked at, these laws that the cops are being told that they have to enforce or else. And of course the people trying to take advantage of it, the cigarette tax or whatever it is. And again, I mean, look at the record. This guy's been arrested 30 times prior. He was no choir boy. And you look at Michael, you look at the Brown situation in Ferguson. I saw that. You saw what he did on tape. Shoved that guy, things of that nature. It didn't look good. Why? And that's the big question. Why is this happening? Because I go back to what I talked to, and I'll continue to talk about it till I'm blue in the face. It's not a black or white issue. It's a green issue. People at the lower level of the socioeconomic time don't feel like they're getting their green, and that's what we need to do. We need to solve the poverty cycle, make it better, and give people more green, and they'll be less apt to commit illegal acts.
And Gary, I have to ask you, race is an issue. It shouldn't be in this day and age, but it is. What do you make of this latest deal with Eric Garner?
Yeah, well, I think most people, at least most people on the coast, would agree that it was a travesty. This guy, I mean, look, what Sam's saying in that particular situation is not wrong, but it's also not right. I mean, that's the key. It happens to people of color more because just in a basic level, in socioeconomics, people of color, except for the Asians per se, have much less money. But if people, depending upon where they are in their lives, will use what they can if they're bad people or they're trying to game the system. So a black man, maybe, I don't know what his education level is, but you can guess or not guess, but let's just assume for a minute it isn't a master's level PhD. They will use whatever they can to game the system. So what they'll do is they'll sell Lucy's. And the white guy or the man of wealth, Indian, white, whatever, has a lot of money, they'll use a computer. And they put on a tie. You know, it's kind of like when you see the head of Hamas when he's on Meet the Press or he's on Face the Nation. He wears a tie and a suit, looks really normal, really together. Doesn't look like, you know, he's wearing, like, for the American public, as some kind of what a terrorist would wear. But he's wearing a tie and suit, looks very respectable. So the white guy is going to sit there and steal you blind with derivatives and things like that. So the black guy's exposed. He's exposed to the elements. The Latino guy is exposed to the elements. So what Sam is saying is not wrong, but people are so frustrated that it's not even handed. Now, I understand when you have a menacing person and you have to protect yourself, the white person on Wall Street is not going to pose a physical threat to a police officer. That's why you don't see the killings. But you don't see the arrest. That's the injustice to me. That is what really gets me so angry. And of course, in this place, in this thing in Chicago, I mean, in New York, it was horrible. Who cares? Let him go. Like, really? Like, really, dude? Like, it's just horrible.
Well,
poor guy.
I agree, poor guy. But there is this concept. If a cop says to you, you're under arrest, that is a statement that's non-negotiable. You know, you can't argue the fact. You can do it later, but you can't say to the cop, "Ah, go away." That's not going to work.
Simon, I totally agree that we are all of us, in whatever situations we are in, we are 100% responsible for what we do. If I'm driving down the freeway and I flip you off, and you follow me off the off-ramp and knock out my three front teeth, well, you're going to go to jail for assault, but I'm responsible for what I did. I can't shirk my responsibility for not, you know, for acting out and not knowing that I'm sitting there flipping off a lunatic. And I have a responsibility for what happened to me in my field of psychology. And people say, well, my husband does this and he's a bad guy and he beats me up or he cheats on me. And I say to the person, well, you're going to go home, cook him dinner and sleep with him tonight. What does that say about you? So we all have responsibility. It's so easy to blame the other person. In all of these situations, it was not 100% the other person's fault. This cop in New York, it wasn't 100% his fault, but he was 100% responsible for what he did.
Correct.
And that is important.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. I agree with you, Simon, completely.
Oh, we'll have to change that. And Bill, I'd like to hear your opening salvo on the case.
Well, again, it's I pretty much agree with what's been said so far, and I look at it. It's like, you know, you've got to manage yourself. You know, if somebody does something that supposedly irritates you, you got to make sure that you're not going to do anything to make it worse. You know, it's the same thing when you got the arms. You know, you got one country chasing after somebody else, and they just keep saying all those kinds of remarks that get the person's emotions hooked, and they eventually go to war with each other. And depending on how much of their buttons they push on their opposition, just escalates it into something that's horrible that didn't ever have to go there. You know, it comes down to the bottom line is you got to manage yourself, and you know, you got to learn when to walk away and learn when you take it to somebody else law enforcement or something to say, you know, you need to do something about this and not just put it on your shoulders all the time. Put your ego aside.
Let me say one thing, Simon, just real quick. If you are a black person and you are in a stop and frisk neighborhood, perhaps, and you get stopped 100 times by a police officer within a period of 3 or 4 months, you know, it just wears you down, I would imagine, because I don't have that experience. I don't think, Simon, you have that experience.
No.
But at some point, you know, psychologically, you just sit there and say one more time, and I'm going to say enough is enough. You just can't do this to me. I'm not being a bad actor here. I'm not doing anything. I'm just walking down the street, or I'm driving to my nice BMW. And it's not, you know, you can make a case of why it happens and so forth, and you can make a compelling case. But for the person who's being stopped constantly, I mean, on some, it's almost dehumanizing, and the rage builds slowly. It isn't like you go from, you know, 0 to 100. You go from 0 to 3 miles an hour, and before you know it, you're 60 miles an hour, and then you're just out of control.
Oh, I agree entirely. Sam, you're an ex bar owner. You must have seen it. You've seen the bad actors in your time. But they didn't start out as bad actors. Yeah.
Well, alcohol, of course, plays a lot of plays into that fact, and other things that they're on, you know, like prescription drugs and things of that nature. I mean, you just don't know anymore. And, you know, I mean, so many people are hopped up on prescription drugs or non-drugs or all that other stuff. So adding alcohol, adding whatever's bothering them, you know, you never know what's gonna happen. But you know, you see them all the time. You know, I mean, I'm going to go back to what this is. This is the year 2014. This is 64 years after the Civil Rights Movement. I'm going to give a great example, guys. I hate to bring back to my class, but this is a system-wide, we're all guilty of it. Failure in education, failure in morals, failure all across the board. We're all guilty. I showed a movie on this week on Rosa Parks. I have seventh graders. Out of 86 of them, only 10 of them knew who Rosa Parks was, and the majority of them African American. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
So think about that. They don't even know, and that's it. You know, I mean, so think about that. They don't even know who Rosa Parks is. They don't even, you know, and that they don't know the history. They don't care. They only know about, they only want to know about rap stars and movie stars and television stars, and that's all they know. Culture of celebrity, one click away. The American dream that you see on television and in the movies is yours to grab if you do other stuff. They just don't get it. A lot of people don't get it, okay? And they don't know the history. And I'm going to say a lot of people don't know. I have white kids who don't know their own history, too, about certain things. We've gotten away from all the basics. And this starts at home, and people have been hearing this for years. Our country is the richest. We have the money to fix everything. It doesn't get to where it's going, and that's the problem. We've thrown billions and trillions and zillions at school systems, and they're in worse shape today than they were 50 years, 60 years ago. Heck, the kids before Brown versus Board of Topeka probably got a better education than the kids today do. In separate classes. I believe that. So these kids, what are we teaching our children? That's it across the board. You know, what's going on? Think of the homes they're coming from. Or home life, or lack of home life. So that's why, you know, it doesn't strike me that who are the ones getting killed? Young black men. By white cops, because yes, they're trying to make a buck. They're selling Lucy's, whatever they're doing. They're no different than the gangsters of the Jewish gangsters at the turn of the century, the 20th century. But I guarantee you, when the cops said, put them up, Bugsy dropped his gun and put him up, put his hands up, or put his hands behind his back. the defiance of not giving a hoot about who authority is, whether it's the police or teachers or a boss or whatever it's supposed to be, is going to costing these kids. And, you know, Leith would also say it's a shame and travesty about white cop on black kids' crime. Absolutely. But what about black on black crime in the ghettos? The shootings that go on between the gangs, the 500, how many murders? There's been almost 750 murders in Chicago, okay,
mm-hmm.
this year alone. Where's the outcry
yep.
over that, America? You know, where's that? Okay, so, you know, Ferguson was terrible. The chokehold is terrible. The accident in the stairwell that just happened in New York where they buried the guy in the housing project, terrible. I'm not debating all that. Where's the debate? Where's Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and all the other, and CNN and Fox and MSNBC on the day-to-day violence that goes on in our city? Cities, the big cities. And why is it happening? Well, I think I agree with Gary. The guy in the suit and tie on Wall Street is doing it with a computer and getting away with it, and the guys on the streets are doing whatever they have to do to survive. Well, that means getting a gun and shooting people or robbing a store or something or joining a gang because that's the only way they're going to get out of, make more money because making $7.95 a minimum wage isn't going to work. And even then, how many of these kids can even pass the damn drug test to get a job?
Well,
right?
Rumor has it that they think they need drugs, otherwise they won't pass the drug test.
Let me make one comment as regard to what Sam said about the black-on-black crime. It's kind of, I think it's a little bit of a red herring. I mean, again, I don't think Sam's wrong. I just don't think he's necessarily right. Whites get killed 84%, 85% by other whites. It's of course, any kind of crime is a crime. It's kind of, like, it's kind of a silly thing sometimes when you think of a hate crime. Because if I'm being killed or injured, you know, the hate part of it, like someone's hating on me on some level. But I do think that, you know, I think when you get down to it, It is a systematic problem of resources. It's a systematic problem in the South. It's a systematic problem in the Republican Party. They have these ad hominem statements like, well, you know, you just work hard and so forth. And again, I'm a psychologist. People come to me with horrific stories. And I say to them, well, what are you going to do today to change your life? And I get that. And that's how I work, and it's very important to do that. It's not just what I do, but it's a very compelling argument when someone says, "Well, I'm 400 pounds and I'm depressed," and I say, "Well, you know, there's a world that exists where you walk for like a few blocks and you have a meal instead of three egg McMuffins. That is important, but on a systematic basis, where people grow up in projects or people grow up in extreme cultural poverty and degradation and all of these things and some kind of shame, it's a bigger issue than that. Like I keep on saying, I think that when you look at historically, I think the Republicans are kind of really not getting this. If you look at the South right now, there's no Democratic senators. It's completely Republican. And if you listen to their rhetoric, it's pretty harsh stuff. And it's pretty miserable stuff. You know, easy to say you don't need government handouts when your family is worth $4 million. It's pretty easy when you get married and you get a house for a wedding gift. It's pretty easy that way. It's hard for a lot of other people.
Right, but Gary, black on black crime is not just in one part of the country. It's everywhere. You live in L.A.
Sure.
East L.A., wonderful spot to hang out and, come up against the Crips and Bloods.
Yes, yes. But you know what, Simon? I had white-on-white crime with me when I had some homes that I bought with fixed rate loans, very conservative, stopped buying in 2003. And I lost them because of Jewish bankers white bankers in New York who did these things, making millions of dollars, now driving, flying their private jets to Aspen, and they robbed me. Now, you could say, well, Gary, you're responsible. I stopped buying in 2002. I had only fixed-rate loans, none of the crazy loans. But these people set up a situation where they – it was white-on-white crime. And you know what, Simon? No one got arrested. The
yeah,
crip,
no one cared.
There. No, I cared.
Oh,
I cared very
obviously.
Much. A lot of people yeah. care. And what happens in the people who don't have any money or power, they look at that, and the cops come after them, and they just simply say, fuck you. Who are you to sit there and judge me that I'm in trouble when all these other people walk free? No, not just walk free. Walk away with $50 million.
Oh, Gary, I completely agree with you. You know, it's wrong. You know, no one should get away with crime, but I don't think it's black on black, or I'll rephrase that. I don't view black on black as usually violent, you know, as opposed to white on white.
It's probably more violent because they don't have the access to the computers and all the other stuff and the algorithms, so it probably is more violent. It's more personal. You know, when you have swords, you kill each other. When you have cyber warfare or you have Tomahawk missiles, you never see the other person.
Right.
So it probably is more personally horrific and violent.
You know,
possibly.
At least you forget something else, gentlemen. At least we forget the violence of the video games. And the games they all play. I mean, that's true. White and black kids. I mean, especially more for the black kids who probably only have at least my students, who have very limited access to, because of their lack of money and lack of this, but they still have access to certain games. And the more violent the games, the more they play them. So that's something, you know, where they think too. Hey, you know, this is cool. You know, look at the movies that are the big hits. The more violence they're in them, the bigger money makers they are. So the violence is glorified more and more each year, passing year in television, popular culture, movies, novels. You know, let's face it, television shows about killing zombies are more do better than you know, shows of, you know, sitcoms, you know, and things of that nature. And you know, it's a whole host of issues that it, you know, is leading. And I don't want to sound like some, you know, Bible thumper, because I'm not. But I think that when that's all that sells, you know, that's, and the American people have less and less choices, you know, there's any wonder that the kids gravitate towards physical violence, raping, robbing, and whatnot. And, you know, the keeping up with the Joneses used to be, okay, I'm going to work hard to keep up with the Joneses, and I'm going to buy they bought a car, I'm going to buy a car. Now it's keep up with, I'm just going to go steal a car. I'll go shoot somebody. I'll go do something. Yeah, I mean, and it is. And it's like, you know, what are the consequences? And I don't think people, I mean, for me, the 12-year-old up in Cleveland is the epitome of what's going on with 12-year-olds in the inner city. I'm going to take a gun, take off the orange. Listen, I played guns in we all played guns in the Army and Cowboys and Indians when we were kids growing up, all right, in our backyard. You know, I would never think in the mean streets of Cleveland, and that's a mean neighborhood that he was in, just as mean as any of the neighborhoods that you all know about, would take off the orange tab, put a gun around, point it at people in the main street, and not in his backyard or front yard or in his house, and not think anything was going to happen to him. I was surprised he wasn't shot sooner by somebody else, to be honest with you. I think it's a tragedy that it happened, but, you know, why are people putting themselves in these positions?
Right.
I mean, that's the bigger question to me. Why would you put yourself in this position? Why are these, and they're getting more and more high profile? Because now we're at this racial breaking ground. You know, it's not, you know. Yes, we're, you know, and we got the race agitators are out there making tons of money. The ratings agitators are out there. And we know, you know what's going to happen. You know that these cops are going to be convicted by a black president and a black attorney general through that situation. And to be honest with you, I just can't see the intent. I don't think the cop in Ferguson or the cop in Staten Island went after those guys saying, "Ha-ha, I'm a true member of the KKK. I have to take this person down." I think they went after him because the law enforcement, especially the guy in Staten Island, he was told, if you follow some of the situation, his superior was a black female who ordered those guys to go in there and get him. And obviously, as a my son is in the special ops, I told you before, and he's done police training and had to do things of that nature. And he says, you know, when a guy 6'5", 3", 250 pounds is standing up against you, he can hurt you. But if he's on the ground, he can't hurt you. That's the first thing they're trained to do: get you on the ground. If you're being a pain in the ass, and I think people have to look at sort of things like that. And stop having such a hasty generalization of everything. And again, I'm no fan of the police. I think we live in a police state. But I understand that. You know, the blame is the damn politicians who are putting them in the middle of everything with these stupid laws. Like, you guys are right. What's the law in New York City? It started with Rudy Giuliani because of how bad things went under David Dinkins. It was the broken window effect. And they've taken that to the extreme in New York City. To the fact, Gary, I agree with you and Simon and Bill. You know, so he's selling some cigarettes on the side. Big fucking deal. He's got to feed his family. But they don't want that. They need that tax revenue. My son-in-law has a bar in Manhattan. It's an Irish bar. Do you know how many times he gets raided a year by the health department? Once a month? Fined all the time? The city probably makes $30,000 a year off him on fines over stupid things? That's the only way to keep that city operating is the tax revenue, and going after the Lucy's was a way led to that poor guy getting killed.
But the problem is that if you increase the tax rate, let's say 2 or 3%, or if you did some capital gains reform, you can get the money and let this poor slob sell a couple of Lucy's without putting resources at it, and that's the rage of it. That's the rage.
I'm tired of Apple. Apple, a California company, paying taxes as an Irish company through Holland.
The point is, that's the rage. When you say, when people like Rand Paul come up with that dopey thing, or you say things like, well, it's because New York needs the taxes. No, it's because New York and the government is, and the Republican-dominated government is sitting there saying, don't you guys remember?
New York City, the Republican-dominated government?
No. I'm talking about federal. I'm saying, don't you remember, after 2000, after 2000, when Clinton, who raised the taxes a total of 3%, and every Republican from Dick Armey to Newt Gingrich to everyone else said it was going to destroy the country, don't you remember what happened then? Everything was great.
We also were fighting a war on terror, too. But I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you partially. But I'll be damned if you're going to tell me New York City
I was talking about federal taxes. I was talking about federal
taxes.
I was talking about federal taxes
that
the states get as well.
New York City dumps even more on you than anybody else.
I understand you. They wouldn't have to. They wouldn't have to if the top were taxed a little more.
New York would still be doing it. Who are you trying to kid? They'd still be taxed. Yes, and I agree with you. They should tax big corporations, should pay their fair share. Absolutely. But New York City wouldn't stop, because that's all politicians do is tax, 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 spend, waste at every level. And that's the way it is. And then we have to stop that. We're never going to be able to do it, because it's a machine. It's a giant, a monster run amok.
Okay. I have a little side story for the pair of you that I think you'll enjoy. It actually happened in Alberta, Canada. One day, I got hauled into a meeting with all staff. I was working at a homeless shelter, and some enterprising soul or souls had come up with a great scheme to make money. One of them was a Native American, so he was able to get on the reservation and buy tobacco tax-free, which he would bring back to the shelter, and him and his friends would make cigarettes and sell them. And it was all dirt cheap, and quite honestly, no one gave a damn. But ATF did. They were threatening all sorts of nasty things if we didn't stop it. And these guys were probably selling 2 packs a day. It wasn't what you would call a large operation. Boring and pointless. If the guy can make a couple of bucks, more power to him. Better than robbing banks, but no. Gotta have those tax dollars. Boring. Anyway, Bill, you've been very quiet. Any comments for us?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'm always tend towards the conspiracy type spirit. It's like we spend so much effort after people who are doing small time criminal activity, and we turn it into this media circus, and it just doesn't have to go there. Things that are really important to us, we don't know what's going on. I mean, that's why some people try to go for news stations that are in other parts of the world to see if they can find out what's really going on over there, because we filter out the things we really should know about and make a big deal out of something that we can put a twist on and just incite the general public to overreact to certain things. And I just kind of feel like somehow as a society we're being so manipulated into taking some of these things, which are important issues, granted, they are important issues, but we're turning it into trying to make this a big chaotic thing, and it's almost like we're waiting for somebody to come along who's going to fix this, and they're going to be the hero on it, because some of these things that we make a big deal about are just not important, and other things that are really important, we just ignore. So, how do you sort that out? And I just kind of feel like, as a society, we're being manipulated to make too much out of the wrong thing. And, again, I'm not trying to downplay this, but I just kind of feel like our society and everything is being manipulated for some hidden agenda. And I don't know what to do with that.
Neither do I, but I'm damn glad I'm not a police officer, because it seems to me that they can't win for losing. If I was dealing with a 6'4", 350-pound man, first thing I'd be doing is going, "Oh, okay, bud, if you want to sell your cigarettes, you go right ahead."
Right.
And I certainly wouldn't want to go up against him. Would you, Sam?
No, and I think that's part of the problem. I mean, that's why tasers wasn't going to stop that guy. And look at Michael Brown too. I mean, I think that I think those are legitimate concerns. And I don't recognize urban America anymore. Where I live in Youngstown, I just don't recognize it. I see it on television. I used to think I did and had my, I could address it. I don't recognize urban America, whether it's Boston, Philly, Chicago, D.C., and what's going on anymore. And I think, again, not being a big fan of the police, because I think they have overstepped their boundaries. And in my little small town, they don't have to worry about anything, but, you know, they are tax collectors with badges. Tax collectors with guns and badges, constantly speed traps and this and that. If it's not, because they need the revenue, and it's not because they can get it. They all got brand new cars. Locally, all the police departments got brand new cars. What do? Hire more police officers, gave themselves raises, and increased the presence, and gave themselves bennies and this and that. And they have to keep arresting us. They have to increase the budget. I mean, there's no zero-based budgeting here in the police departments. It's more, and that's what they're going to do. And what are they going to say? Hey, you don't pay these taxes, we're going to let criminals out of jail. We're going to let prisoners out of jail. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And they scare the shit out of the American public at every level. And I think, like I said, I thought that the whole thing with those riots, announcing that time on Monday night 2 weeks ago, was so people could see what we have to deal with. Look at the animals we have to do. Well, when you treat people like animals, they're going to act like animals. They burn down black-owned businesses, too. Because that's all they know. The bloodletting has begun. There's rage in the streets. I understand all that. Because they don't see much past that. What do they got to lose? What do they got to lose? I mean, or anybody, any oppressed ethnic group, poor white people, poor, whatever. What do you got to lose? What's the alternative? Like I said, we have to end the cycle on poverty, and not through the federal government's programs, and they're not administered by the states or the county. Because once these politicians and bureaucrats get involved with it, it's over. I mean, hell, they can't even hand out coats correctly around here to kids. I mean, it's a shame. It's a shame. And I guess it's what a friend of mine said the other day. The only thing that's going to solve this problem is every upper middle class white family has to adopt a black family. And he was being serious about it. You get the government out of the way, and just every family just have to adopt one and take care of it. It's the only way you're going to solve this problem and work together and do things. And and we were laughing about it, the statement. But I think there's some truth to that. Because the government can't do it. We cannot rely on the government to do it because they get twisted and pulled and pushed in the wrong direction. They're greedy. They're blinded. They're all sorts of stuff. And I think one thing this panel all agrees upon is how inept, inefficient, and corrupt our leaders are. And it's worse now than it was 10 years ago. 10 years ago, it was worse.
I actually disagree with you, Sam. I think that the government can do great things. I think that's what's corrupt and horrible, at least in the last 10 or 20 years, is private corporations. I don't believe in them. I think I used to believe that corporations were more competent. Used to believe that all the time. I don't believe it anymore. I don't believe it after they've lost $37 trillion in the last meltdown. I don't believe it anymore. I don't believe it when they pollute everything, the Koch brothers and all these things, and they sit there and they trade things. I don't believe them anymore.
They're on the face of the earth, Gary. They don't pay taxes. Think about that.
No. I understand that. I understand that. But I'm saying
they're not incompetent. They're geniuses. It's the government that's let you down. They're not protecting the interests of the people.
Well, the government has been eviscerated by the Republican Party,
and
so what you do
too.
Back in the '60s when you had the shot to the moon. It was based on a government leadership, a private industry, and it worked well.
Who do you think paid Hillary Clinton $500,000 a pop to speak? You think that's Joe and me and Simon?
It's a different topic. I'm not arguing that point.
She's a Democrat, and they're going to pay Barack Obama $1 million to come.
The only thing I'm saying is that I said they're both very, very flawed. I would rather trust the government than corporations. Because you don't want to know why? The top guy in some government program, the top guy, is not going to sit there and work for 2 years and walk away with $30 or $40 or $50 million. He may be incompetent. He may give a job to his cousin and things like that. But the top guy in the corporation who's going to sit there and try to figure out how can I work here for 2 years and walk away with $50 million, have a private jet, have a house in Aspen, have a house in New York, have a house in Florida, have a house in Italy, and get out. That's what corporations do. Government is flawed hugely. But the top guy in government, I think, is the president that makes $400,000 a year. The top guy in corporate America probably makes close to $200 million a year. So I'm sorry, I don't trust corporations.
The top
you
guy
can,
in government
I don't.
Makes a lot more than $400,000 a year.
You tell me. You tell me what the top government employee makes. If I'm wrong, I'll gladly admit it. But I'll guarantee you this, Sam, it's not going to be $200 million. It's not going to be $40 million. It's not going to be $25,000 an hour that the head of Walmart makes. It's not going to be any of that.
Of course not.
Okay, so I believe in government more.
How many boards? Do you know what board Hillary Clinton sits on and clears them?
I'm not arguing that. I agree with you.
Walmart, okay. So she took the
I'm not arguing with that.
It's an incestuous relationship.
I agree with you.
American people.
I agree with you.
Okay,
I completely
so
agree with you. I am just saying I trust government more than private corporations. And they're both shitty. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I think that's a valid point, and I suspect few people would argue the fact. Corporations really wield a lot of power. Google pays $3 tax per year because most of the holdings are kept offshore, and they make lots of political contributions, which keeps the lobbyists busy. There needs to be a complete reform. Yeah, the tax is number one, government number two. But where the hell does it start? I hear lots of politicians saying, vote for me, I'm going to fix it. But as soon as they get on the gravy train, they go, oh, fuck, I'm not going to fix this. This is too much of a good thing. So where do you start, Gary?
What you need, I think.
Pardon?
Hello?
Yeah. So where do you start with the reform? How do you reform the system?
Revolution.
The revolution. Okay.
That's the only way to do it. French-style revolution.
Okay. And what would your revolution look like, Sam?
It's going to be a bloody one. Don't worry about the first revolution. It's the second one you got to worry about.
What we've done, Simon, is we've mythologized the founding fathers, and we mythologized our country, and we make it, it's like someone whose, you know, husband or wife is perfect, regardless if you find child porn on their computer. Oh, they're perfect. So we've mythologized, you know, this idea, and it's been bastardized, and people with power have shaped it to what they need to do. And as income inequality gets bigger and bigger, people are just going to say, I'm done. I'm just going to stop working. It's going to be like Rosa Parks on a national level where people say, I'm done. And unless that happens, and unless you find some leader who's able to say that I'm done, I'm just not going to do this anymore. It's not fair what happened in 2005 and 2006. It's just not fair. And then all these poor black men are like 25-30% have been in jail before and have records. It's not fair. And it's just not fair. And people are going to say, I'm done. And it doesn't have to be a violent one. It just has to be everyone's going to lay down, everyone's going to park their car in the freeway and walk away and tie up commerce, and it's going to be a revolution. And unless we figure out, get money out of politics, get money out of this, it's not going to change at all. When you say, how is it going to change, Simon, you're right. It's never going to change, given the parameters that we're dealing with.
Sam, how would you view the revolution?
I think unfortunately, it's just going to happen when the next bubble burst. I think that anybody doesn't see that there's another depression or another great recession coming is deluding themselves, and I think that's what's going to cause it. And if you think that there's, it's not going to. I'd like to say it's going to be nonviolent, but it's not going to be. And if you think the thin blue line is going to get thinner, it's not. I hate to say it. I hate to be a cynic, but the next one's going to be bad because we didn't fix the first one. And I think people are going to be out of patience, out of time, they're going to be out of money. They're going to be able to go to the bank and get stuff. Very few people are going to be working. Very few people are prepared for it, mentally, psychologically wise. And it's going to be a tough thing, and it's coming. I mean, you can see it. The recession's in Russia. The only good news that we have to say today, everybody, is gas prices are going down, which is a good thing for everybody. That's it.
The only good thing
I can say right now to the world is that, hey, gas prices around the world are falling. But in a way, that's bad because Russia is going to go into a recession and it's going to have this domino effect because we do live in this global economy. Unfortunately, where we in America are paying people to not work because we don't want to pay people a livable wage. We want to pay people in China 50 cents a day to make things. So the corporations make more profits and, this, that, and the other thing. And it goes back to what we've been talking about. So all that's going to come to a screeching halt in the next worldwide depression that's right around the corner. And I think anybody sees it.
Gas prices dropping are not doing anything for the economy.
It doesn't cost you $50 to fill up your car. It costs you $25. That's 25 more bucks you got to go do something else with.
Right.
That's the way you have to look at it.
Yeah. The industrialists, shall we say, are all crying in their martinis.
Gas prices should always be a minimum of $10 a gallon. We should have done that years ago. When the planet is heating up and you figure this out, you could use the taxes on it to deal with infrastructure, with new R&D, with things like that. I think it's a tragedy when gas rates go down. People go buy their Yukons. People go buy their big trucks. People feel, oh, look at me. I'm going to get my V8 Hemi engine. It's a tragedy. Gas should always be at least $10 a gallon. And if it goes down, fine. The taxes, you just pay that no matter what. And that's what you have to do. You have to somehow deal with global warming in a very solid way on a national level. And yes, okay, you adjust the tax rate for the top 1%, 2% in a different way. But that's what you have to do. And that's the answer. When people come to see me in therapy, I keep on saying the reason why you don't change for health is because when you make a decision to be healthy, life gets worse. It doesn't get better. If I'm 400 pounds and I go start going to the gym, I give up all the things I love, pizza and movies, and I'm humiliated and embarrassed in the gym. My life doesn't get better. It gets worse. And that's why we don't change. So you say, well, Gary, $10 a gallon, it's going to make our life worse. Yes, it will. But that's how we change. Stop drinking. You might feel worse. You might figure out you hate your parents. Stop doing this. Stop get angry with your mother. You may not come home for Christmas. It will be lonely and painful. Things that are painful will elicit change down the line. We as a country, as individuals, and of course as a country, we don't want to change. We want what we want when we want it.
Right. But, where does sensibility start?
What do you mean? That sounds insane. What are you talking about? You crazy?
Yeah. I'm completely nuts.
You sound like a lunatic, you crazy man.
No, but I mean, you know, we're all in broad agreement. Government's too big and only getting bigger.
No, Simon, I disagree. I think government is too small and we need it to be bigger. I think the Republicans in the last 10 or 15, 20 years have shrunk government tremendously. Remember, we used to pay 70, 80, 90% in taxes. Bush W. lowered it even more. No government, no regulation. No government, no regulation. Pollution, derivatives, all these things. I think we need a lot. I am so for big government. I mean, this is a man who voted for Reagan twice. I am so for big government, it would make your head spin. So, and I'm not a crazy liberal. Sorry. I am not a crazy liberal. I want Elizabeth Warren to be the president or the vice president. I want government, more government. Better government, but more government. So don't include me.
Okay, Sam. Are you for more government?
Less government, less corporations. More people, more power to the people.
How about you, Bill? Is bigger better?
I don't know. It's the first. This was such a surprise to hear Gary say that he wanted a bigger government. That just confuses me. I don't even know how to respond to that. But obviously, government's doing the wrong thing. It almost seems like we just need to get a good focus, but it's so corrupt, and you're just moving the corruption from one entity to another. So how do you do that? Well, you know, you don't burn your local businesses. You burn the local government, I think. That's what you got to do. Or the federal government. But then, you know, then that puts me on their watch list, and that's not a good thing either. So how do you, you know, how can you make a violent response to the system and not get in trouble with it? And how do you make sure that your aggression is going towards the real problem? Because if we're being a little, if there's coercion going along and they're misdirecting us where the real problem is, you know, how do you get it resolved? Because, you know, obviously persecuted are not always looking at the right answer. You know, they're not looking toward the right cause. And it truly seems like it's government and big business that's aiding to confuse us. Or in Gary's case, it's the Republicans, you know. But, you know, there's something. We're being deceived and we're at the wrong cause.
Okay, Bill. So what would be your solution? How do you fix it? How do you make everyone sit down and go, "Oh, something's broken. Let's fix it."
It's really tough because the problem is that there's so many people out there, or so many organizations out there that are inciting others and manipulating them to do the wrong thing. So how do you, it's almost like we're being brainwashed. It's that whole, the townspeople with the pitchforks, you know, let's just get them stirred up, create the problem and walk away and then go count our money. You know, I don't know about gas coming down being a problem. It's obviously a problem for the oil companies. But in reality, all I keep hearing from so many businesses is, we're ready to hire more people, and we need them because I can afford the transportation costs that I couldn't afford last year. I'm seeing an awful lot of economic growth in a state which has not been doing very well economically. And so, you know, we're being incited to a kind of a revolution, but I'm concerned that it's the wrong direction. So,
Okay.
I don't have the answer.
Okay, Sam, same question to you. how do you pull off this bloodless coup?
It has to be bloodless. You can't make an omelet without breaking eggs.
Oh, okay. So you're more for a blood coup.
I just think it's going to start when people realize that, once they can't feed their families. You know, that's always a big motivator. They can't get to the bank to get money out. And like the Great Depression, we're heading for a Great Depression that was only put off once by this thing that happened in 08 with the bailouts, okay? And that was a one-time wonder. There's not enough money left to do that again. And the next one's coming. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen in our lifetime. And it's going to be like a Great Depression that hit in the 30s, and there isn't going to be any Franklin Delano Roosevelt to come around. Because we burnt all those guys. We don't want to hear from the reformers. We don't want to hear from the people who told us to take the medicine the right way. We've shot the messengers. No one wants to do that anymore. The system has eaten up all the reformers, all the people up there, and spit them out, and or bought them off, one or the other. And what's going to happen? It's going to happen. It's going to be like the Great Depression in the 30s. And when people helped each other back then, you think they're going to help each other now? They're going to kill each other. The blood's going to go in the street. I know Gary. You probably never liked Bob Dole. Okay, he's one of those evil Republicans. But he wrote have you ever read his biography? He served in World War II. He got really shot up at the Battle of Anzio. And it's a very interesting story. And it happened in the Prussian, okay? I'm sorry, okay? And I read his book because of that. My dad was a World War II veteran, and he was always partial to other World War II vets, Democrats or Republican. If they were a vet, they were his guy, and I understand that philosophy. So I read the old autobiography. During the Great Depression, his family was middle class in Kansas. They lost their house. His dad owned a grocery store or a pharmacy. I can't remember which one. Well, they had in order to keep the house, they sold the pharmacy, and they actually moved into the basement of their own home and rented out the top floor and the second floor to two other families so they could pay the mortgage and not lose it. So there were three families living under one house. Two of them were paying his parents' mortgage, whatever it was. And that's what people did. And could you imagine doing that nowadays? And that story always struck me as, wow, how that could happen back then in the 30s. It could never happen in the 21st century. Maybe somewhere. But could you imagine doing that to yourself?
Sam, just so you know, Bob Dole would be considered a liberal Republican at this point. I'm sorry, a liberal Democrat. And when I'm saying why the Republican Party is so dangerous is because they're basically ISIS to a moderate Muslim. They are ISIS. They are the Republican Taliban. They believe in Sharia law. You can't waver for 1 minute. The Republicans I've said this many times, of the 80s and 90s, completely, completely different than the Republicans today. The way we get out of this, the ultimate fix, is the opposite of Citizens United. When you have George W. Bush being elected president, which was a hallmark of the decline of the American empire, and you put the Republican majority into power, and then you have four Democrats say no on Citizens United, and then the Roberts Court say yes. Okay, it was already unfair, and now it's exceptionally unfair. You have to sit there and change the idea of the elections, of money in the elections, of money as speech and corporations are people. You got to change that. The Democrats are bad. The Republicans are toxic and dangerous. They are ISIS. They are the Republican Taliban. And I'm not being extremist here. I am being very observational. This is not an extremist position. This is an observational position, and it's so obvious to me, I don't get it.
The problem, Gary, the problem is we have an economic problem that both those parties just and corporations and the ultra-rich just continue to gobble, often what's mine is mine, what's yours is mine, and it's coming, and their greed is what's going to do them. It does it all the time, and it's just and you're going to be in a situation that a Great Depression is coming. We just came out of the Great Recession. recession. We're heading into a Great Depression where people are going to be at each other's throats. Those zombie things aren't going to be the dead. It's going to be hordes of people who can't get their food. Government checks don't come in.
Sam, I'm not saying you're wrong, Sam, but I'm saying if Gore won in 2007, right, in 2000, I mean, you would not have the Roberts Court, and you would not have Citizens United. Now, you're right.
But we
the
do.
Democrats
but
are
we
at the
do.
Top as well.
But we do.
But,
By the way, Obama came in with the same mandate that Franklin Delano Roosevelt did to change the system. And
you couldn't do it with a Republican Congress.
In the Senate, and he didn't.
He did it with some kind of health care that had to get through the filibuster.
Healthcare was the problem.
You're right.
Wall Street care.
He had to put out the fire. The house was burning down. He couldn't do that in the moment he came in. We were on the verge of destruction.
Baloney.
It is the wrong analysis,
Sam. He said, do what Paulson did for Bush. Make that stock market grow. That's what they did.
He had to do it, and he did it.
What do you mean he had to do it?
I don't want to argue that because you can't prove what you don't know. So I wouldn't know what would have happened if he did nothing. You may be right, Sam. I can't prove it. I'm not articulate on that.
And the bailout
didn't
happen either.
Listen, you may be right. I honestly don't know.
The banking industry, then you start on something.
I agree with you. Okay, no, I disagree with you on that. I think he had to put out the fire, but I think that he hasn't done anything because of the Republican Congress that was elected in 2000 and then whenever it was, 2010.
He had control for 4 years.
I know.
Total control.
I thought he lost it after 2 years. Maybe I'm mistaken.
He had 4 years.
He had 4 years of the Congress? Really? Are you sure?
He had the House and the Senate when he was elected president.
I know, but for 4 years or 2 years, because it's elected
four.
Every 2 years.
Four. And
you sure?
Up, and
4 years. You mean the Democrats had a majority in both houses for 2 years? For 4 years?
Yeah.
4 years.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, check up on that, because I think you guys may be wrong. I think it was just two.
Even 2 years is enough.
Well, he got Obamacare. I got you. But it doesn't make a difference.
Even 2 years is enough. I'm pretty sure.
It's another argument that I'm not really strong on, so I don't really know. But that's fine. I'm not defending. I think you're right about that, Sam, for sure. I do. I think you're absolutely right.
He came in with the health care thing. It's the same thing that bottled up Bill Clinton in his first term. And he did this, and it's turning out not to be as good, not to be as
but
bad.
You're changing,
not
but
you're
changing. But what I said in 2000, if Gore won, and you had a Democratic president, you would not have Citizens United. I was going back to the real problem is money in politics.
Does that mean 911 wouldn't have happened either?
No, I'm saying money in politics is so corrosive. I was just addressing that it might have been a little less if you had five Democratic justices as opposed to four. That's all
but
I'm
money
saying.
Money in politics has been around since Washington's day.
I just said it would be a little bit less. I think Citizens United will go down on the ass heap of history and accelerate our demise. That's all. I think it's a very fair point. I don't know why you would argue it. I think it's very fair.
Hey, okay, let's move on. Time is ticking. Let's talk about Senator Mary Landrieu. Apparently she's job hunting. Good news is her Taco Bell in Louisiana is currently hiring. Does it come as any surprise that Landrieu lost the runoff? Ooh, dead silence.
Let Bill go first.
Bill doesn't even know where Louisiana is, I don't think. Oh, and he just hung up.
Simon, it's the Republican South. The Republican South, this is kind of like in 65 when Johnson passed, you know, the civil rights and he lost the South. The South has gone so far right that it just defies reason, it defies anything. I don't know about Mary Landrieu deserves to lose. She was awful. I mean, just the way she ran against Obama. I'm sure she had to. But you know what? She sold her soul to the devil to try to get it. Shame on her. She lost with no integrity. So, you know what? Screw you. It doesn't make a difference anyway. So, you know what? I have no sympathy for her whatsoever. But again, the Republicans are just, they're like the Dixiecrats. I mean, they're just, they're nuts. Absolutely nuts. Simon, are you okay?
The interesting thing is that the bloodletting by the Republican, the slacking that the Democrats took is interesting. You know, I mean, I don't think anybody thought the Republicans were going to put Obama up as the as a national issue, made him an issue, and the Democrats all crumbled and fell apart and couldn't get out their base. It was amazing. It was amazing, and he didn't get out there to defend his record. Or other people couldn't. They let Hillary Clinton go campaign because she's running for president. So, and she always, and all the people she campaigned for didn't do very well. And what was their record? They ran. They, you know, Gary, you talk about the Republicans trotting out the same old playbook. You're right. You're right. What's the Democrats' playbook? War on women. The same old this. The same old. You know, the same old bullshit. And none of it benefited America. You know, neither party talks for what's best for America. Main Street, they talk for what's best for themselves, Washington, D.C., and Wall Street. And that's it. And that's the problem. And that's why I think both parties are disgusting, and I think both parties need to be blown up, and I think the American people need to take back this country in some way, shape, or form. And I hope it does happen. But we get the government we voted for. We all deserve it. We all live in pockets of, you know, I live in an area that's just totally dominated by the Democrats. They steal. They go to jail. They do what's right for them and their friends at a local level, at the countywide level. At the state, it's run by the Republicans. The Republicans run to do what they want to do for their friends, their cohorts, and whatnot. And no one gives a damn about the people.
Sam, we are in complete agreement. Really, we really are. I am, like I said, we both think that we need a revolution. So we agree on that, too. I'm thinking, given the structure that we're in right now, I think that if the Democrats are 5% better, it's important, because it is horrible, and it is horrible. And the revolution and the dystopia world may happen regardless. I think you very well may be right. But I'm saying something like this, the Republicans are more dangerous. If you had Gore instead of W was given the election, think what the last 15 years would have been like. I think it would have been markedly different. We would have invaded. I don't think we would have invaded Iraq for sure. I think we would have had not. We wouldn't have had Citizens United for sure. I think what happened with the bailout would have been exactly the same, regardless of who it was. That was Obama's thing. But I think if you think about what would have happened if Gore won. A green president in a time when war and these countries are fueled by petrodollars, it would have been a market change. It would have been this was one of those sliding door moments with our country.
When W won
as opposed to Bush and loaded up with
Toledo.
Were
you watching Toledo, The Wonderful Life last night? We watching it, Wonderful Life last night.
I watched about 10 minutes of it.
If Kudzwitz and Schutz, yeah. I mean, come on. Yeah. Well, you know,
I'm just saying the Republicans are worse. That's all I'm saying.
What would have happened if Longstreet wouldn't have attacked Little Round Top and went around and went after, if Lee wouldn't have attacked Little Round Top and would have moved right wing of his army around Gettysburg, he would have won the Civil War. But he didn't. So we can argue this left and right. Gore didn't get elected. I don't want to talk about it. We talk about what we can do from this point forward is what we have to focus on. And the focus on, okay, we're going to see how evil the Republican Party is come January 2nd or January 3rd. And I think people are going to be in for quite a shock when they see the President of the United States and the Republicans actually pass some legislation, because both want to have, because Barack Obama wants to go out a winner for his legacy. And the Republican Party wants to take that White House in 2016. So don't be surprised if both sides find some common ground on some issues.
Don't be surprised. Name one. Name a single issue.
Number one, they're
going to
keep the government funded. For them, that's a big fucking deal. The government will not shut down. You heard it right here. Number two, There'll definitely be a felons will get the right to vote. There'll be decriminalization of nonviolent crimes at the federal level and whatnot, done by Cory Booker and Ralph Moran Paul. You can take that to the bank. There'll sort of be some reforms there. And I think
This is mind blowing, Sam. This is mind blowing, really.
I mean, even
then we're going to Mars, and then we're going to Jupiter, and felons can vote. Wow, you're amazing.
Sam, no one gives a rat's ass about any of those things.
Oh, yes, they care about the government not shutting down. Bullshit they don't, Simon. The government will not shut down. It will not shut down. There will be some minor things done for people. Also, my big prediction, immigration reform in 2015. Both parties
will
together.
Okay. All right.
Again, it's because you guys are looking at short term. Look at the long term. Obama needs a legacy. He does to do something. The Republicans have to show that they can work with people, and they're going to come up with something. They need the Latino vote. Come on, guys. Think 2016. 2015 is the year they do some things together. I'm telling you. Practicality tells you that's what's going to happen.
All right. Sam, name one thing that the average Joe is going to say, wow, that was great. That was bipartisan.
If the government doesn't shut down, Simon, if the government doesn't shut down, that means the media isn't going to be banging that drum that the world's coming to an end. That's a big damn thing. The average Joe can relate to that.
But the thing is, Sam, most Americans could care less.
I think the media makes that a huge issue that the government's going to shut down, and it plays to people's fears, and people don't think they're going to get the welfare check. Some people can't go to do this. My stepdaughter dates a federal prison guard, okay? They have to live together, all right? Nice guy, okay? He lost his job for... he was out of work for 30 days.
Sam, you're basically saying that the Republicans are saying to their wife, I'm just not going to cheat again. It's like, big deal.
It is a big deal.
The Republicans won't be douchebags anymore. Big deal.
It is a big deal.
The Republicans won't be douchebags anymore. They won't be obvious douchebags anymore. Okay, we won't shut down the government. Whoop-de-doo. You know, honey, I'm not going to cheat anymore. I'm not going to grab your sister's tits anymore. Okay, isn't
that
a good deal? It's a big deal.
That means the Tea Party's under control.
But that's not a win.
If they can't shut the government down, that means that now you have leadership.
Right.
That's a House rep, and now they can go do things.
All right.
They
you know what? My wife should buy me a new set of golf clubs because I'm not going to cheat on her anymore. Whoop-de-doo.
Well,
look at me. I'm so great.
Hey, Gary, you're a pessimist. I can't fucking help that. That's your problem.
Right.
Not mine.
Right.
I'm an optimist.
That's not a win, Sam. That's not a win. I'm sorry.
That is a huge win. It's a huge win.
Immigration reform is a big win. Tax reform is a big win.
Immigration won't happen until the spring.
Right. I'm just saying, those are wins. Not doing
so
something
not
stupid is not a
government.
Win. All right.
Okay, Gary, so wait a minute. You want the government shut down, Mr. Big Government?
That's not the point.
Yes, it is the point.
That's not a political accomplishment. That's not a political accomplishment.
A huge political accomplishment.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Raise the debt ceiling.
That is not an accomplishment.
It's a huge
That is not a political accomplishment.
Fuck, no. Yes, it is.
It is not me being a better husband to not cheat on my wife. That is not me being a good husband.
Have you ever compared apples to apples in your life? Are you always an apple to orange guy? Because that's what you come across as.
Okay. All right, here's what I think about government shutdowns. No one could care less. I find it unfortunate that during a government shutdown, the assholes that we voted in still get paid. Item number two, the IRS still works. If you're going to shut the government down, shut the whole fucking thing down, you know, and we can all enjoy life. So, what do you make of them eggs, Sam?
I'm going to tell you something. You just somehow made my argument, Simon. I just told you an example. My son, my daughter's boyfriend is a prison guard. He was laid off. He didn't get paid. He couldn't pay his bills. I know hundreds of other people like that. They pick and choose who gets shut down. And it has a ripple effect on our economy. I hate to admit it. And it has this and that. It does. People can't go to work. People can't go do things that who work for the government. Who do they always strike down? Well, the prison guys, the post office, whatever. There's things that make the average American suffer. So I totally disagree with your assessment that if they shut the government down, the little guys don't hurt. They shut the
damn,
down.
I'm not
you
saying that the little guys don't get hurt. Again, I agree with you. All that I'm saying is not shutting it down is not a way that the Republicans and Democrats work together.
It is something that is insane.
Because
they can pick and choose who gets paid. As Simon just eloquently pointed out, they don't shut the whole government down. They pick and choose who gets shut down.
Okay.
That's not happening.
All that I am saying is that I am not arguing the point that it doesn't cause pain. I am only saying that is not a compromise between Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan, between Newt Gingrich and Bill Clinton. The Republicans have become obstructionists. They hate government. They want to make it as small and inconsequential as possible. They don't want to sit there and negotiate with the Republicans.
And McConnell and Obama.
Okay, that whoop-dee-doo. Whoop-dee-doo. They won't pass anything, but they won't shut it down. Good for them.
How do you know that?
Wow, that's amazing. You guys will go down on the Mount Rushmore of congressional leaders. You did not shut down the government.
Gary,
McConnell and Boehner.
How many bills and riders do you think ride onto those bills of the government, the continuing resolution? Do you know how this
I am not saying that it doesn't hurt. I am not saying that it doesn't hurt people. I am not arguing that it doesn't hurt people. I'm saying it is
not
a way that Republicans and Democrats work together.
When they don't shut the government down, they pass continuing resolutions that
have
5,000 other bills appropriated to it.
Okay, great. Okay, that is the government working at a high level, according to you.
Absolutely.
Congratulations, Sam. We have different definitions.
It is, Mr. Grim Reaper. Trust me.
All right, we have different definitions. That to me is not government working at a high level, not to shut it down. All right, well, then I would call you the Grim Reaper if you think that's high level government working together. I don't.
In the year 2014, I think it's.
All right, then who's the Grim Reaper, you or me?
You.
Actually, I'm a firm believer if they're going to shut down, that they should shut the whole lot down. And see how long those high-priced members of Congress can hang out without a paycheck. And should they decide, oh, shutting it down isn't such a good idea, don't give them back pay. Now, last time government shut down, I seem to recall that everyone got a 3-week paid vacation. Fuck that. I mean, how much did that cost us for doing absolutely nothing? Yeah, this is stupidity. It's crass stupidity. Wouldn't you agree, Gary?
Simon, I think, of course, I can't argue with that. But, you know, these people go in with some net worth and they go out all millionaires. So the fact that they may lose a few dollars here and there is not going to kill them. They have an insider trading information. They'll be guaranteed lobbying positions when they're out. Of course, you're right. It makes a good headline, and it makes us all feel better. But, you know, The Republican Party just wants to shut down government, make it smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. They want everyone out of our business. If I want to move next door to you, if I want to move next door to Sam or Bill, and I want to start burning my garbage and all the smoke goes into your house, I should be allowed to do it. And we have our guns, as many guns as we want, for the two of us to figure it out. And we'll deal with it. Who needs the government? Who needs the police? That's the Republican wet dream. So, of course, you're right, Simon. It makes a nice headline. But Louis Gohmert is going to go in worth $50,000, and he's going to leave the House of Representatives probably worth $2 or $3 million. That's what happens. It's exactly what happens. So, of course, you're right. I mean, of course, you're right. It makes a nice headline, but it's like, okay, whatever. You know, I'm on first class, but I'm going to have plastic cups instead of glass. All right.
And I agree with you. And Sam, can you argue against my point of view?
Nope. We'll never even attempt to.
I can tell when you're getting persnickety.
No, I just wouldn't. When you're right, you're right. When you're wrong, you're wrong. You're right.
Okay, gentlemen, I'm looking at the clock and we're flat out of time. So one last kick at the cat. Gary, I'll give you first kick.
Well, listen, I thoroughly enjoy arguing with Sam all the time. The only thing that makes me frustrated is I feel like I'm defending a position that I never was against. When Sam says to me that closing the government will cause hardships, I totally agree. When Sam says to me that working in the inner city as a teacher is difficult, I totally agree. So we agree, and all of a sudden I keep on defending a position that I've already agreed upon. I've just said, and to me it's so logical, Simon, that in the pantheons of how Democrats and Republicans work together, I don't consider not shutting down the government an iconic moment in American politics. I think that the Republicans are just not being total douchebags and are willing to sit there and to do something. But basically, they're the Taliban, they're ISIS, they are a fundamentalist group right now that has no room for error. And so that's my position. I don't think it's crazy. I don't think it's liberal. So I think, again, I'm just being observational. And that's it for today, guys.
Okay. And Sam, you
I had a great time today,
even though
the Browns sucked another egg, and they should have put Johnny Football in. It really pissed me off. That's why I'm probably in more of a bitchy of a mood today. But it's on this Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day, I just think of all the servicemen and women who are out there every day against the real ISISs, the real terrorists. All around the world, there's threats to Americans wherever we go. That poor teacher that got killed in Saudi Arabia, going to go shopping, you know, it's just the hostages that got killed when Obama did the right thing and tried to rescue them. It's a real dangerous world out there on many, many fronts, and unfortunately it's getting more and more dangerous. And I hate to be a cynic, I just think if you're an archduke, you shouldn't be driving in an open carriage.
Okay. Gentlemen, it's been a slice. I'm sure we'll be back next Sunday with similar arguments. Till next time, goodbye.